My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, August 8th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. But if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Sign up. $3 a month. Hours and hours and hours of bonus content is back there behind the paywall. I want to give a special shout out to Philip. Thank you so much for being a brand new subscriber. I really appreciate you. Please enjoy my hour-long love fest of Columbus, one of my favorite movies in the past 10 years. an hour-long love fest of that movie. This is episode 526. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here in my apartment behind this Rode Pod mic, recommended to me by the great Andy Klein of the Three Guys On podcast, which I will be on next week. I'm scheduled to be on there next week, so I'm excited to be back and hanging out with those guys again. So, I'm sitting here in my apartment. I was going to have a guest this week, but scheduling did not permit that. And so I just, instead of just like waiting for a guest, I just said, I'll give you some more of me. How about me for, I guess, at least a half hour or so. I don't know how long this is going to be, but every time I say this is going to be a quick one, folks, it ends up being like an hour and a half. So I don't know if it's short, then it's short. You guys didn't pay for this, but all right. So I had a pretty good week. This is actually Saturday. I record on Saturday, but I put these out on Sunday for those of you that don't know that, breaking the fourth wall. Today I went to Long Island, to Massapequa, New York, to be exact. I went to this toy store recommended to me by Brian McGinnis of the Playable Characters podcast. He's been on the show before, and he lives out there, and he's like, oh, dude, we were at a birthday party, and we were talking about action figures and stuff, and he's like, oh, you got to check out this place, Fantastic Toyage in Long Island, where I grew up. And I was like, all right, man, cool, I'll do that. I like stuff like that. And I was gonna go last week, but it was just terrible thunderstorm on the day that I was gonna go. It was like on a Thursday night, I believe, Thursday after work. I was gonna drive down there. And it's brutal. Traffic in Long Island City is a nightmare. And I experienced that on the way back. But I went out there early. It only took like an hour. And we went in there, this vintage toy store. He had like, this dude had like a bunch of collectibles and some new stuff. And then some of like top tier figures, like Hot Toys and stuff. And I didn't go too crazy. I just bought a Zori Bliss character action figure from The Last Jedi, and I've been wanting that figure for a while. I think I saw it in the store once, and I just never picked it up. I was like, "Cool, I'm gonna get this. It's like $20. It's not gonna break my wallet." I did see some stuff that I wanted, like the 9-year old in me was super excited to see all the cool vintage toys, and but I actually controlled myself. I spent a lot of money on toys for me this year. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good. Because I talked about this on the Patreon, but they release when Black Panther opened up my love. I've always liked toys. I've always loved action figures when I was a kid, and I've talked about this on the show before when I had David Vonner on and when T-Man 978 was on recently. Episode 500. I got to get T-Man back on to shoot the shit with him about toys and stuff, about figures. It was Black Panther, and then I started seeing all this stuff. And then, like, when I started looking at these Transformers, that became, I think the Transformers were my favorite figures growing up. And I love I always talk about the work that they do on these figures now, how amazing they look. That's when I was like, oh, this can get really expensive. I need to chill. But I did buy this Rodimus Prime. So I got this Galvatron figure that's on my desk right now. And I never had I don't think I've ever had a Megatron or a Galvatron figure. My cousins did. So some of the stuff that I didn't have, they had. And so it was cool to play with those figures and stuff, but I never had a Galvatron, and those were the big items that I wanted. And I finally got my Rodimus Prime, like the newest edition of that from Hasbro. And I haven't even opened it yet. It's like, I don't even want to open it yet. The box is so amazing. I'm a fucking nerd. But anyway, so I was excited about that. We had a good time just like browsing the store. The owner was really nice. But I got that Zori Bliss figure because that is who Carrie Russell played in the movie. She was only in it for a bit, but like, and the thing about that, it would be cool if the helmet came off, and you had like a head with her face, like a 3D print of her face. That would be cool if they did that. You could probably hire somebody. You could commission somebody to make put a head on there, of Carrie Russell. But yeah, I had to cop that. One of my all-time favorite white starlets who broke my heart when she used the N-word in the Free State of Jones. I gotta do that bit about that on stage again. I gotta work that out. Yeah. So we did that, and then he's like, "Oh, dude, you gotta go. When you come out here," he told me, "you gotta go to this All-American Burger. We got to go there. It's like this old school burger stand that's been around for years and decades." And so we went there after we went to the toy store, ate outside, and we just got there right before the rush. And it was good burgers. It's like really, it's fast food, but it's like high quality fast food. It was like inexpensive. It was cheap too. It's like, it's better than Burger King, better than Wendy's. I went to Wendy's the other day and they fucked my order up, and I got like some hickory burger or some shit that they have now, barbecue bullshit, and I just ate it because I was like, oh. I was just like, oh man, this is not what I wanted, because I took it home. I was like, I'm not going back out, fuck, you know. But anyway, it was good. It was really good. And so then I sat in almost 2 hours of traffic going back. It's insane. And then I came home and took a nap. And that's what I did today. And now I'm talking into a microphone. Took a nap. I'm well rested. What else have I done this week? I read another book. Look at me getting well read. I read The Heritage by Howard Bryant. The full title is The Heritage Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. So I read that after reading Full Dissonance, but The Heritage came before Full Dissonance, Howard Bryant's latest book. And then I bought the Henry Aaron biography that he wrote also. I actually was talking to my aunt about Full Dissonance. She used to be, she's 84. She'll be 84 this year, this month, I think. And we were talking, she was an educator in DC public schools. And we were talking about stuff. And she's like, oh, I would like to read that. So I sent it to her via Amazon. Thanks, Jeff Bezos, bringing families together. Even though you could be a supervillain, but you know, I was able to, get a book to my aunt. where was I going with that? Yeah, so I loved it, and I got that thing on, when did I get that book? I got it on Thursday and finished it this morning, and I would have finished it earlier, but I had a show last night, but it's a quick read. It's like 200, how many pages is this thing? Where do they do the page count? I know Amazon usually does it. It was, how many pages is this thing? 288 pages. The hardcover is 288, but the paperback I think was like 239 or some 240. I don't know, but it's fantastic. I loved it. Howard Bryant's great. So I enjoyed that, and there's so much stuff coming out. Like, I want to read that Giannis book that's coming out next week. I want to read Cecily Strong's memoir. I got books that I need to fucking read that I paid for, and that I haven't cracked open. So I got tons of stuff to read. I'm getting backed up on books and video games. It's this media. It's hard to consume it all. I want all the knowledge. But yeah, I had a show last night in Sloatsburg, New York at Characters Restaurant and Bar. It's a gig, you know, prior to the pandemic that I would do about once a year. And it's a fun gig. It's not far away. It's about a half an hour from where I live. And gigs like that are always fun because you don't have to go across the bridge. You don't have to pay any tolls. And the food's good there too. I got some wings that I didn't eat, that I ordered but didn't eat. So maybe I'll warm those up tonight like a nice fat boy and enjoy those. But yeah, they have great food. And I did a half an hour, and it felt good. Like, it was good. It wasn't as like breathtaking as my set last month, where I had like these breakthroughs. So I had the breakthrough, and now I have to work. And now you have to do the fucking work. It just doesn't fall into place. But it was stuff that felt good. Then the booker was like, "Yo, you're doing some really cool shit." So I was like, "Okay." And he's a comic also. Shout out to Eric Albert. So he was giving me love and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of work to do, and work that I'm willing to do. It's just talking about some new stuff, trying to be a little more spontaneous, trying to be more connected to, just trying to be more present. That's what I was working on too. Cause yeah, you can have your prepared jokes and stuff, but I wanted to just kind of be in the moment and kind of let the audience tell me what they wanted when they threw their laughter. So I had fun. And the other comics were good. They did well. It's a pretty strong show. Like, they were getting like hard laughs from top to bottom. So that was good. It was a good show. And then I did not, well, and then I went to a diner and I got a tuna melt. Not a tuna melt, I got a tuna club. Because I had wanted a tuna club when I was at the Borgata, and they didn't make them anymore. It was one, like, COVID really kind of fucked up Atlantic City. It fucked up a lot of shit, you know? So stuff wasn't the same, and you kind of got to get used to that. But they have great fucking tuna. Like, the time in my week there at the Borgata, I had a good burger, and have this food court. So they got cool and they got nice restaurants at the resort. I paid $30 for a hamburger there once. I might have paid $40 or $50 because I just wanted to try it. Some people throw away thousands of dollars at the crap table. I threw away $50 on a mediocre burger. But if you go downstairs and into their, like, it's like a food, it looks like a food court at a mall. And so they have burgers, they have pizza at one place, they have salad, they have like Mexican food. And then they have this, and the burgers at the little burger spot it's on point. So it's great. But then they have this like convenience store type place where they have pastries and like sandwiches and stuff. And they're these prepackaged sandwiches that you can get anywhere. And I was like, you know what? After one of these shows, I'm getting a tuna sandwich because I really wanted one. That shit was official, man. It was so good. And it came with like coleslaw and a pickle. And you just get this one tiny pickle, but the pickles were so fucking good. And you know a place is good when you ask for pickles with your sandwich or whatever, and they only give you one. And that's what happened last night. I went to this place called the Coach House Diner that I hadn't been to in a while. Like, I think during the pandemic, I went there once and got my nachos. Every so often, I get a taste for some nachos, and they have really good nachos. And so I said, you know, let me just go there and get something to eat, because I hadn't eaten in a while, and I knew I was going to stay up for a little bit. So I just ate and let my food digest and watched the movie. But the tuna melt was good. It was good, and then it came with one tiny ass pickle. And I was like, dude, I told the guys, like, can you just give me a few pickles, you know? And they only gave me one, but that one pickle was phenomenal. But yeah, if you ever make it to the Borgata, before you throw your money away and see some shows and stuff, get a fucking tuna sandwich at their food court. Skip all the steak and lobster and great food in the main area, and go towards the back of the casino and go downstairs and fucking get a prepackaged tuna sandwich. I'm so low maintenance. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So that was my night. That was my Friday night. And it was cool. I watched a movie. I'll talk about it now. I can go out of order. I can mix it up. It's my podcast, whatever, dude. I watched this, Val Kilmer documentary, last night, and I was excited to see the movie. I knew it was out in theaters, and then I knew it was going to come to Amazon or something, you know, and it came up. Amazon, I think, sends you like Prime members. They send you like the movies that are the new movies and shit like that. And I was like, oh, okay, it's out now. So I'm going to check it out. And so that's what I did. And it was really good. It was just about his life. This dude recorded everything when he was coming up, like from when he was a kid till current day, and he's got like this. They'll talk about it in the film, but he's got issues with his vocal cords, and he can't really talk like he used to, and he's got like a machine and stuff that allows him to talk. So his son Jack does the narration as his dad, you know. So that was really good. I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd, if you care. Very good if you're into documentaries and stuff. And it was like the perfect chill movie to watch on a Friday night. Like for me, I know some people, everybody has their thing. But it was just good to like kind of wind down like after a show. It was just like chill, you know. I don't know that I've ever been in the mood to watch something crazy at night, like after a show. But normally it's just like a chill thing, like a sitcom or something pleasant. Shout out to Ba from the Firestarter podcast. we were talking about like pleasant shows to watch, and shout out to Charmaine on Twitter also, because like we were talking about like pleasant TV shows to watch, where it's like you don't have to be paying, you don't have to pay like super full attention to the show, and it's not super intense, it's just chill, like saccharine stuff, like a Gilmore Girls, like a there's a show called Sweet Magnolias that they both recommended, and I was like, oh, this is very pleasant, this is chill, like nobody's getting their head blown off or chopped off, you know, stuff like that, you know. Every now and then I'm in a mood like that, but like he went off on Twitter a couple of days ago. He's like, who recommended what is the show that just had a season 3, Virgin River? And like he was just going off. He's like, damn, it was just too white. It was too white. And I was like, well, you know, I think it was you and Charmaine that recommended it to me, and I watched all 3 seasons. And he went in. It's an exchange. If you go to the timeline, it should be like in my replies. It was pretty fun. But I like stuff like that every now and then. I think my chill show right now is a show called Happy Endings. And it was a show that was on, I think it was on ABC. I've talked about it before. They did 3 seasons of it. It was just a really fun show. Actually, it's on Hulu too. Damn, it's on Hulu, HBO Max, and it's on Netflix too. Just a very funny show, like really quick. So many jokes per minute, kind of like how a Kimmy Schmidt and a 30 Rock is. It gets a little fantastical. It's Eliza Coop, Alicia Cuthbert, Casey Wilson, Damon Wayans Jr., Adam Pally, and Zachary Knighton. Really fun. It was like a fun, it's like a whimsical version, more of a whimsical version of Friends, like, but except it's in Chicago and it's a little, there's no laugh track. It wasn't recorded in front of a live studio audience. And it's like, I believe this looks like it was a one camera show, but it was very funny. And I didn't realize it was that long ago. It was 2011. It's not a long time ago, but it's like 10 years ago. Yeah, it's 10 years ago. I didn't realize that, but it was a good show nonetheless. And it's funny if you haven't gotten into it, but I highly recommend it. Actually, it's really funny. So I just kind of revisiting that a little bit. For something that just like when I want to just relax and not really worry, not really be married, like not have to fully invest into a story, you know. But one, because I've seen it before, but it's funny. It makes me feel good. You know, I was talking to Brian today at lunch, and he was talking about The White Lotus on HBO. And he's like, oh, yeah, you've seen that show. I love it. And I was like, yeah, but I was like, it's no Mayor of Easttown. And he was like, ah, Mayor of Easttown. Like, is that that's like the detective show. Kate Winslet, you know, best, one of the best series of 2021. And he's like, ah, you know, I'm sure it is, but I'm not, the world's kind of fucked up already. I don't need to see that. And I was like, yeah, he's got kids and it's kind of about daughters and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to see that, you know. But I get it. Like, some people just don't watch that stuff. He's like, I'd rather watch a comedy and stuff like that. I was like, I totally get it. So this is one of those shows that Brian would like. That's fun. But I totally understand that. Where is I going with that? Yeah, so the Val Kilmer documentary is good. It's just called Val, and it's on Amazon Prime. Really good if you're just into actors and stuff like that. What else is going on? The Olympics, the U.S. men's basketball team won. Hopefully the women will take it home too, as they play Japan, sometime this weekend, I guess. I know that they're scheduled to play them, and I hope they win. Rooting for them. Allyson Felix became the most decorated American track star, so that's cool. Good on her. There was some story about when she got pregnant a few years ago that Nike dropped her. I don't know all the story about it, but I know she mentioned something about that on Instagram, where she did it in her own shoes. And that's fucked up, Nike. I'm still not giving away my Jordans or anything, but I mean, it's fucked up. Nike is very, they're kind of all over the place. And they know that a lot of people got that brand loyalty. But when it comes to this shit, it's just like, ew, Nike. Yeah. Simone Biles got a medal. So that's good. Like that's how good she is. Like even, so I think I mentioned this, maybe I mentioned this on another episode or something, but becomes a champion after dealing with abuse, sexual abuse, all this shit, and then becomes like this amazing champion. She was a champion. What was that? 2016. She was champion back then. And she was a champion when she stepped on the plane to go to Tokyo this year. And the fact that she just pulled off a medal, just like after dealing with all that bullshit in the press, you know, she still won something. It's amazing. It's fucking remarkable. So I'm happy for her that she just overcame that drama. What else did I have in here? I had some other notes. Allison Felix, yeah, that's that. Let's see what else. Let me see if I want to do. Okay. TV stuff, The Chi, I watched the season finale of that last week. It's good, it's coming back, so that's cool. It was kind of all over the place. They were trying to grind a lot of axes, you know, but I think if you just, I like the show when it just focused on the kids, because to me, they were the most interesting thing about that show. The grown-ups, not so much. Some of them were assholes. Some of the storylines, it just felt like there were too many characters. I still like the show and I'm still going to watch, but that was my critique. I just stick to the kids. They're the most interesting. Flatbush Misdemeanors. That's good on Showtime. Dan Perlman and Kevin Iso, New York Comics. I don't know them that well, but the show's good. But it's cool that, you know, they're in the community and they're doing well. And I watch the show every week. I enjoyed that. It's funny. Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed that. I got to get on Black Monday. Now I can binge Black Monday now. Now that they're done, and I'm watching Power, Book Two, what is it? Raising Kanan? No, it's not Book Two. It's just Raising Kanan. Power, Raising Kanan. Maybe that's Book Three. I don't know how they're doing it, but it is good, and I'm enjoying that. Physical on Apple TV Plus with Rose Byrne. That just ended. That was the episode 10 came. It's good. Apple TV Plus is coming out with some good stuff. I've enjoyed most of the shows that I've seen on there. I would say I got to get into Servant, season two of that. There's a show with Joseph Gordon-Levitt called Mr. Corman that looks pretty good. I like Joseph. I like JGL. I'm a fan of him. So I'm eventually going to watch that. But the Apple TV does, man, they give you a couple of episodes and then they say, okay, now you got to wait another week. They're kind of piecemealing them out and whatnot. But, it's cool. It's good. I like that. Ted Lasso's good. They had a protest episode. So I'm assuming there's going to be fallout. From that, not from the meat, not from like the internet, but just in the show. So it's interesting to see what they do with that. So that's a TV that I'm watching. Schmigadoon, also very good. I just said her name and I always forget. Oh my God, that is really bad. I hate when I do that. I'm going to type the. That is so Cecily Strong. I just mentioned her memoir that I want to read. Cecily Strong and Keegan-Michael Key. Really good. Really fun. I think I talked about it on Patreon, but that's a good show. So Apple TV Plus, they're coming with it, man. At first they started off, I mean, I thought they started off pretty strong with the morning show. The other stuff I didn't watch right away, but only other show that I watched before that, other than the morning show was Defending Jacob, and that was good. I dug that. I was rocking with that, with Captain America. And I guess I'll end with this pretty cool story. I kind of buried the lead here, so I bought this ticket. St. Vincent had a taped show that she did with this company called Moment House. And it's a website where they have artists that perform. I'll read you the about thing here. Moment House was founded in Los Angeles in 2019 as the simplest way for creators to create special ticketed experiences. Hey, why don't I read that again? Because I really messed that up. Okay. This is from Moment House's about page. Moment House was founded in Los Angeles in 2019 as the simplest way for creators to create special ticketed experiences for their fans, no matter where they are in the world. We call these moments. So it's a site where artists can put up a special, basically, and their fans can buy tickets for a specific time and then they stream it. And it's really cool. So St. Vincent did this thing called, what do they actually call it? Cause I'll just have to look at the email and see what they call this thing here. So it's St. Vincent's Down and Out Downtown, special, whatever, and she did it with her band, and so it was like very like sepia toned and like 70s style, and she did, because that's what Daddy's Home is basically, and she did about an hour set and had like a couple of little interstitial things going on, and then if you paid $10 more you could see the after party where she did a couple of acoustic songs and then she answered questions. And I think that was maybe under an hour, maybe like 45 minutes or so. So it's like 2 hours of one of my favorite artists of all time. And I fucking loved it. It was so great. And I was going to indulge in an adult beverage, but I said, you know what? I don't need to be trash, but I didn't have to go to work the next day. I had to just log on. So I would have been okay. But I just had a Sunkist, a nice Sunkist, nice orange soda, and fulfilling racial stereotypes, and watched it. It was great. So I was streaming it from my laptop, and then did the mirror thing, airplayed it on my TV, and it was cool. I really enjoyed it. What I didn't know is like when I got a ticket, and I didn't get the after party ticket. But Moment House allows you, sometimes the artist, I guess they have an agreement with Moment House, and then they, you could watch it the next day or later on. So I didn't realize that until the next day. So I watched the after party. I paid like $11 with tax and watched the little acoustic set and then the Q&A. And it was good. I really dug it. So I took a picture on my laptop and just said thank you St. Vincent and Moment House, and Annie Clark, aka St. Vincent, liked my tweet, and I was like, oh my god. And the only person I could really share it with was Shalewa Sharp, and I just sent her the pics of where she liked the tweet, and I was like, I'm about to quit social media, y'all can't tell me shit no more. But what I could have did, and I just didn't think of it in time, I should have took a picture. I should have posted a picture of Damian Lillard, who is her favorite NBA player, after he hit that buzzer beater at half court. And I should have made a meme and said, when St. Vincent likes your tweet, and that maybe she would have followed me. And maybe I could have got her on the podcast. But I wasn't thinking quick enough. I was just kind of like overcome with joy that she liked my tweet, And I thought that was pretty fucking cool. I'm going to take it. You know, you take it for what it is. I'm not saying she's in love with me. I'm just saying she liked my tweet, and that made me feel good. And I think that's all. I mean, that's all you could do. But it was great. So I'm excited. I hope that people continue to fucking get vaccinated. At least in the NFL, the vaccinations I heard are going up because people will lose money if they have to forfeit games and stuff. And I'm hoping that more people get vaccinated. I had to get on a comic last night. I was talking about it on stage. I was talking about people getting vaccinated and in my set. And then one of the comics came up to me. We were just talking, and he revealed that he didn't get vaccinated. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Get vaccinated. What the fuck? And then I just left. As soon as the whole vibe of the conversation changed, because it was just like two comics catching up, and he was like, yeah, I didn't get back. I was like, good night. You know? So I'm hoping that, because the arrangement for the songs that she did was great. It's going to be dope, because I knew, like I told Shalewa, if it's anything like what she did on SNL, the two records she did on SNL, and then she did Down on Fallon. And I was like, if she did, I mean, that's going to be a great fucking show. And then some of the old songs that she did, like the arrangement she did for some of her older records, I was like, yes, it was so in the pocket. And I'm hoping that things work out to where I get to see that show that I bought a ticket for in Philly at the Met. So I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that my schedule is open for the play, God willing, to play. You know, they just premiered the first Broadway show open, Passover, that opened on Broadway a couple nights ago. I think if it wasn't Wednesday night, it was Thursday night, I believe. And it went well. Everybody in there was vaccinated. The show was great. People loved it. And there's a piece in the New York Times about it. So I'm hoping that I can be in that number, man. I'm hoping that the show pops off. We can get this money, fortune, not the fame, living, you know, get to do my art and all that stuff. And, yeah, man, it's like get vaccinated. And I know on this podcast, and I think the people who listen to the show, a lot of times I'm just speaking to the choir. I feel like if you listen to like the Black Guy Who Tips with Three Guys On, you're probably, and Righteous Prick, you most likely got vaccinated, I hope. You know, so yeah, I'm hoping I get to see that. I'm hoping I get to sneak down to Philly and see that fucking show, because I know it's going to be great. And she was, you know, I contemplated, because right now, I think if it's not this weekend, it's a couple, I know she's going to be like, she was going to be somewhere in New England, way up in New Hampshire. And I was thinking about going to that show, but the hotels were just ridiculous. I don't know why the hotels up there are so ridiculously expensive. It's like the ticket, maybe you get a ticket for $70, but then the hotel's going to be like 300. No, not even 300. It's going to be like 500. Like in New Hampshire? I know it's beautiful up there. You know, I've been in that area, but like, Jesus Christ, it's ridiculous. And I'm not making that kind of money. I'm not making sitcom money yet. I'm making barely making it day job guy who gets some gigs every now and then that supplement his income, and he can, you know, buy some an action figure every now and then or and stuff like that. Like I'm not poor, but I'm just like, you know, I'm an American. I don't know, but yeah, I'm not making that sitcom money yet. I'm not making that ballerific money, because I'd take a private jet up there. Now I wouldn't take a private jet up there. I'd just go up there and see the show. But yeah, those hotels are really expensive up there. But yeah, that was a pretty dope thing. It made me feel like a fanboy that she liked my tweet. And I think if she ever did this podcast, I don't want to say that I almost feel like I would quit. I would stop. If she did this podcast, I would probably, I don't know. I almost feel like I would stop. That would be the end. Because I've already, like, I've had Van Hunt. Fonte's been on here multiple times. Nicolay's been on. Some really cool guests and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like, I would just, oh my God. I could, and I would compose myself too. I would be composed. I would probably get the fanboy stuff out of the way before I hit record. Because there's always that danger of that Chris Farley character. Remember when you did that song, Laughing with a Mouth of Blood? Remember that? You know? So, yeah, I think I would quit the podcast if she ever did it. That would be it. That would be like hitting a home run in the bottom of the ninth, or like Jordan hitting that game winner when he pushed Byron Russell out of the way. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. So much for that, guys. I have blabbed enough. It's a little over 40 minutes for this podcast, and I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm going to say next week is probably going to be pretty cool for you people that listen to the show. And when I said you people, I'm not being racist, but I'm calling you people that listen to the show. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.